Welcome to our Songs of Histories series. We are looking at a very dark time in the life of King David. David has made some significant mistakes in his life. He's committed adultery. He's committed murder to cover up that adultery. And he's being judged accordingly. Nathan the prophet comes to David, rebukes him, calls him to account, and tells him as a result of his sin, the sword would not depart from his home, that there would be real practical consequences within his family. There's the tragedy of the oldest son raping one of David's daughters. Absalom rises up to defend her honor, kills such brother. Absalom ends up retreating into exile. There's a rift between him and David. David almost seems, as you work your way through the middle part of 2 Samuel, seems paralyzed. Chapters 16 and 17 seems paralyzed, knowing that this is the manifestation of his own decisions, that this is him reaping the whirlwind, so to speak. The harvest is coming due. Absalom ends up leading a rebellion against his father. He ends up spearheading a full-blown mutiny that lends into a civil war. David doesn't really fight Absalom. He retreats out of Jerusalem. Absalom takes the throne. David is not necessarily in exile, but he's back into the wilderness, familiar territory. And as you're working your way through these chapters in 2 Samuel, you know, David, it's very interesting just the way that David processes things, the way that he handles things. There's not much emotion. It's almost matter of fact. As he's making his way out of Jerusalem, people are cursing him. He's got all kinds of drama circulating around him. And it's if you're just left to the histories, if you're just left to the actual historical narrative, you would maybe reach one conclusion about David from the story. Depressed, aloof. And yet, if you go to the Psalms, which is what we're doing here, and you look at Psalms that David wrote that we can attribute to this time period, David, the prolific songwriter of Israel, always writing, it was his outlet of expression. It was his way of communicating himself to God, of checking his own soul and spirit. And so during this season of him on the run back into the wilderness, Absalom, this tension, this strife, all of these things going on, David writes a huge number of Psalms, which I find fascinating in and of itself because it reveals something about David. We're going to start by looking at three. They're fairly short. Three Psalms. Psalms 3, 4, and 5, so if you want to turn there. Our intention, again, is not to do an expositional study. It's just to read these psalms in the context of when they were written, just to give us insight into what's happening within the heart of David. Psalm 3 is titled, The Lord Helps His Troubled People. Their subheading is, it's a psalm of David, so it's directly attributed to David, and it's directly attributed when he fled from Absalom, his son. And so the ancient rabbis of old directly attributed the authorship to David, and the context being this season of his life. Not all of the Psalms we can pinpoint with such clarity, but I think with this as an instance, we can say for sure. Verse 1, Lord, Jehovah, how they have increased who troubled me. And indeed, Absalom, he goes to Hebron. He has a plan, a scheme in place. People begin to rally around Absalom. They begin to flock to Absalom. Even men like Ahithophel, who had been trusted counselors of King David in years past, come behind Absalom. Indeed, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah, pause, consider. Again, this is a song David's writing that had a musical accompaniment. Here's kind of a jam moment an intro verse and then a bit of a reflection opportunity. There is no help for him in God. That's what people were saying of David. People saw this seamless transition, David fleeing, Absalom's rise as being the judgment of God, the obvious evidence of God's anointing, the succession of one king to, at the time, the rightful heir, Absalom was. Verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. There's a scene where David is leaving Jerusalem. He crosses the Kidron Valley. He works up the slope, the western slope of what's known as the Mount of Olives. He gets to the peak of the Mount of Olives, and we're told that he tears his clothes and he worships God there from the mountaintop. Could this have very well been the song that he wrote in the moment? I think so. Again, you get insight. Lord, this is what they're saying of me, but I know you're a shield for me. My glory, you're the one who lifts up my head. I'm crying to you and you hear me. Verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. And later David would have 20,000 come out to attack him, to hunt him down. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. He's speaking of past times. Lord, you've been faithful. You've been good. David knew what the consequence of his sin would be. But he also had confidence knowing what the judgment wouldn't be. God would not strip the throne from David. David would remain the king of Israel until he died a natural death. Even though Absalom's rebellion seemed promising, David knew that the strife, the turmoil within his family, that was the consequence. But he knew that God would sustain him, that God would preserve him. He concludes, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people, Selah. We'll transition directly to chapter 4, Psalms 4. It's titled, The Safety of the Faithful, to the chief musician with stringed instruments. So we know the musical accompaniment, a psalm of David. Again, we can't necessarily say with 100% certainty this is attributed to this time period, but because it flows after Psalms 3, it's likely coupled together for obvious reasons. David begins, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. He says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. I love that. David had a lot of justified reasons to be angry, to be hurt by Absalom, to be devastated by what was taking on, to have even a justifiable wrath. And yet he's speaking to himself, you can be angry, David. You can be angry, but just don't sin. Keep it in check. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. He's speaking again to himself, offer these sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. You know, sometimes we need to talk to ourselves, you know, especially when we're in a time of trial, of tribulation, of uncertainty. Sometimes we need a pep talk and there's no one else to give us one but ourselves. And we come to God's word and we bring up God's truth and we need to speak it to ourselves so that we can remember things that are true. Verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart. More than in the season that their grain and wine increased, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. David was not in a safe situation. There was many men that were seeking his life, and yet he's resting in the Lord. You know, in the midst of his trial, he's resting in Jesus' powerful Psalm 5, again, we'll conclude with this one. It is a prayer of guidance, which, again, we can see how this would be relevant to David's situation and circumstance. I love it. The previous one was with stringed instruments. We're told this one is with flutes, wind instruments, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King, my God. I love that. David, the king, refers to God as the king, my king. For to you, I will pray. You know, everyone has a king, even kings. Everyone has an authority. Everyone serves someone or somebody. David keeps this in his mind, that he was not free to do what he wanted, but he had and would had to be submissive to a higher authority in his life. Verse 3, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. I will lift my voice and I will expect you to answer your reply. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Speaking probably of your tabernacle, your dwelling place, the practical terminology. There hadn't been a temple yet, although David's heart was to build one. He's looking towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. David is leaning not on his own understanding, his own wisdom, his own calculations. He wants to be guided by God in this time of crisis. And that is a very wise approach. For there is no faithfulness in their mouths. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgression, for they have rebelled against you. A powerful passage speaking of Absalom and the counsel that he was getting. David is crying out to the Lord, let them fall by their own counsels. Verse 11. But let all who rejoice, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. We find our joy, not in circumstance, but in a person, a relationship. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. What a powerful three psalms David writes in this particular season of his life as he's on the run from Absalom. If you enjoyed these psalms, I encourage you to check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. You can find not only this video, the audio that accompanies it, but also the Bible studies related to what's happening in David's heart here in these passages. God bless.